Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song makes you wonderful. Something you never seen before.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of Romans and will be continuing today with part one of The Perfect Will of God. So let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 12, verse 1, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
Verses 1 and 2 of chapter 12 of Romans, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. One of the most fundamental issues of the Christian life is the will of God. Every serious Christian wants to know and walk in the will of God. But as many of you know, discovering the will of God can be challenging at times. Just this whole idea of the will of God. Well, how do I know that this is really what God wants me to do? And what if I go in this direction and that's not really what God has for me? And most of us, to some degree, know that dilemma and that struggle of trying to discern what God's will is. Well, here in our text, as you saw, Paul gives us the prescription for knowing what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, two things are necessary right up front. And we've looked at both of these in depth already, so I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail. But let me just remind you, the two things that are necessary in order for us to make sure we're in that place to get in the center of God's will is, number one, total surrender. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. So we talked at length about that, but that's where it starts. I'm not going to be able to get in the center of God's will if I'm not surrendered to God. If I'm still holding on to my life, if I'm still insisting on being in the driver's seat, so to speak. If I am still hoping to fulfill my plan or follow my agenda, then I'm not going to get to that place of being in the center of God's will. There has to be a relinquishing of all that. And when I do that, when I yield myself to Him in total surrender, that's when I put myself in the position to discover what God's will is. So total surrender, number one. Secondly, transformation. So again, we talked about not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of the mind. So total surrender, transformation, that renewal of the mind through the influence of the Word of God. And as we're doing these things, as we're totally surrendering ourselves to the Lord, as we're allowing God to transform us through His Word, giving us a new way of viewing life, a new outlook on the world, a new perspective on everything, we're putting ourselves again right in that place to find ourselves right where God wants us to be, right in the center of His will. Now, when we talk about the will of God, there are different aspects of God's will that we can end up talking about. And it's important to make the distinction between what we might call the general will of God and then the personal will of God. And the difference between those two things is simply this. The general will of God is the same for all believers. The personal will of God will vary to some degree from believer to believer because it has to do specifically with that person. And the more detailed things of what God created them for or intended for them when he created them and when he saved them. So let's look for a minute first at the general will of God, because the general will of God is the foundation that must be laid in order for us to ultimately get to the personal will of God. I can't disregard the general will of God and ever expect to find the personal will of God. If I'm going to get into the personal will of God, I first of all have to be in his general will. So, the general will of God, what is it? Well, it's essentially everything that we're being taught throughout the scriptures and specifically in the instructional portion of the New Testament, the epistles. So as we read through the epistles of the New Testament, what we're basically being given is a picture of the general will of God. This is what God wills for all of his people. Three things I'll just touch on. Number one, living righteously. That's true for every believer. God wants every single one of his people to be living righteously. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Let me read to you a description of what we're talking about here when we're talking about living righteously according to the general will of God. Paul says in verse 17, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." And then he goes on to deal with some specifics. "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt communication proceed from your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." That is God's will for every Christian. You see, this is just one example of what it is to live righteously. So everybody is called to live righteously. All of us are called to conform to what is being stated here. So living righteously. Secondly, living in sexual purity. We're all called as God's people to live in sexual purity. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in the third verse, Paul says this, "For this is the will of God." So he tells us here very specifically, "This is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. So God wills we live righteously. God wills that we live in sexual purity. Over in the fifth chapter, the 18th verse, Paul, in the closing portion of the epistle, he says to them, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So living righteously, living in sexual purity, living thankfully, this is the general will of God. It's the same for all of us. It's true for all of us. And this is what we are to be taken up with foundationally or firstly. This is the priority. When I come to Christ and I begin to walk with Him, what I'm primarily concerned with at the moment is just the general will of God, just making sure that I'm doing the things that God has clearly laid out for all of us to do in His Word. Now, the personal will of God, that is what, as we go along in our faith, that is what we become more and more interested in or more and more concerned about. As we're getting established in the general will of God, as we're living the way God has called us to live, as we are maintaining sexual purity, as we're living with, you know, thankful hearts and praising Him and basically just, you know, doing those things that make for Christian maturity, then we start asking the more specific questions about, well, you know, Lord, what do you have for me personally? And we ask those questions in regard to all different kinds of things. God's will for you personally includes things like education, vocation, marriage, financial stewardship, ministry. Those are some of the things that we begin to wonder about, some of the things that we begin to pray about, some of the things that we begin to seek the Lord on. Lord, you know, what do you have for me? As a young person, for example, you know, maybe you're about to graduate from high school. Lord, am I to go on to college? Or maybe you've been to college and you've graduated at one level. You know, Lord, should I go further into this? What do you have for me in this particular area? And people, these are questions that we legitimately ask. Or, you know, God, what is your calling for my life? What am I supposed to do? What is my vocation to be? And how can I glorify you through that vocation that you have for me? Many ask the question, Lord, what about marriage? Am I to be married? Am I to be single? If I am to be married, who am I to be married to? How do I know who's the right person? How do I know that it's the one that you have planned for me? Or again, financial stewardship. I've got this great job. I make a lot of money. What do I do with this? Am I supposed to just use it to enjoy myself, or is there a place that God might have me to direct these resources for the furtherance of His kingdom? Okay, but where specifically might that be? And then ministry. Am I called to the ministry? And if so, what does that look like? And where is that going to take place? And how am I going to really know that this is what you have for me? So these are the kinds of things, and of course there are other things, but these are the kinds of things that come into that category of the personal will of God. Now, let me repeat something that I said a moment ago. Remember this, the personal will of God will only be discovered in the context of the general will of God. So our first priority is to concentrate on the general will of God. Make sure we're doing that. And if we're doing that, then we can expect God to give us more specific direction on the things that pertain to us personally. If I'm not in the center of God's revealed will, His general will, what the Bible says, in other words, if I'm not concerned to live righteously, But I want to know what God's plan is for my life. Or if I'm living in sexual immorality, and yet I'm looking specifically, well, God, you know, what would you have me to do here? Or, you know, obviously those things have to first of all be sorted out. And once they're sorted, and once I'm established in a consistent, solid walk with the Lord, then I come down to, okay, Lord, what do you have for me on a more personal level? So the personal will of God is discovered in the context of the general will of God. And the personal will of God will always be in harmony with the general will of God. So in other words, and this is one of those things that to some extent should go without saying, but yet it's probably safe to just say it. God is never going to call you to do something personally that his written word, that his revealed will in the scriptures prohibits. So the scriptures say, for example, just say in relationship to marriage, that we're not to be, the scriptures say generally that we're not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And then, of course, that would have application in marriage. So if you ever come to a place where you feel like, well, you know, I know this person isn't a believer, but I just really think it's God's will that I marry them anyway. Wrong. No. You see, because you would then be making the mistake of thinking that God's personal will for you is something that contradicts his revealed will. And that's never going to be the case. It's always going to be in harmony with the general will of God. So, here's the big question. How do I discover the personal will of God? How do I know? And maybe you would even say to me, those things that you just mentioned, I have thought about and wrestled with those things, and I still am uncertain about what God's will is in regard to some of those particular things. Well, hopefully, as we go on, that will get cleared up for you to some extent. But here's the question. How do we know what God's will is for us personally? Assuming that we're taking care of the general will, how do we know what God wants us to do? Well, there are things that I would call pointers toward the will of God. There are certain things that God is going to use to point us in the direction of his will. And the first thing is inclination. Inclination. You know what that means, right? There's a desire there, and it's more than just a passing desire, but it's a desire that's causing you to be inclined to go in a certain direction. So God gives us an inclination toward the things that he is wanting to lead us into, those things that fall under the category of his personal will. I love the passage in Philippians where Paul tells us that it is God who works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So God works in us, and God puts in us the will to do the thing that he wants us to do. So we have a God-given inclination towards something. You just feel like, you know, I want to do that. I just feel like that's the direction that I'm supposed to move in. And I would say along with the inclination, there would also be an enabling. There would be an enabling. Now, not everything we want to do is necessarily God's will for us to do. You know, we might want to do something that just simply goes beyond the call that God has for us. I might want to be the most famous preacher that ever lived, but it might not be what God has called me to. So, you know, recognize that. It is possible to want to do something, but that's not necessarily what God has called you to do. And one of the ways that you'll know, or at least have a better indication that God is calling you to that is that there is an enabling that comes along with it. So it's not simply a desire or even an inclination, but there's an enabling. There's an ability that has been given to you. So you have a gifting in a particular area. And so let's just say with, education, for example. Some people that are just, they're gifted academically. And they have an inclination to go in that direction. And they have a gifting, an enabling. And this is perhaps a good indicator that this is the direction that they ought to go in. And of course, when you look at vocation, there's going to be an inclination toward a certain vocation, and there's going to be an enabling, a gifting, an ability to do that thing that you're having the desire, the inclination to do. And this is true all the way across the board. With marriage, this is like a question that you should never have to ask, but quite often I find that I do have to ask them this question. People come in and say, well, we're thinking about maybe we should get married, but we don't know if it's the will of God. How do we know if God wants us to be married? You know the first question I ask them? Do you love each other? Well, I don't know. We didn't think about that. Well, and somehow we get to thinking foolishly that God's going to call us to get married to somebody without the primary ingredient of love. I've heard people say, well, I didn't really love them, but I just knew it was God's will to marry them. So that's why we got married, and that's why we finally got divorced as well. come on. No, there's going to be an inclination. You're going to love that person. You're going to enjoy being with them. It's, sometimes we end up over-spiritualizing things. And the way God brings people together in his will is he causes them to fall in love with each other. That's one of the methods that he uses, the primary method, really. And so, again, with whatever the case might be, ministry, many examples that I could give there, but you get the point. So inclination and enabling. Secondly, opportunity. Opportunity. Along with the inclination and the enabling, God brings about opportunities to move in that direction. So if there's no opportunity, then it doesn't necessarily mean it's not God's will. It probably means it's just not God's will yet for you to move specifically in that direction. But if the inclination is there and the enabling is there, then you want to wait for the opportunity. But when the opportunity arises, if you've got this combination of inclination, enabling, and opportunity, then you can build a pretty good case that, well, it just seems like this is the Lord, because the opportunity is there. Now, let me say this. This kind of throws a bit of a wrench in it. Sometimes the opportunity alone is the thing that God uses. There is not an inclination necessarily, but the opportunity arises and somehow you sort of get pushed into it, and then you find that there's an enabling, and then ultimately it kind of goes backwards. You finally end up with a desire. I've had that happen in my life at times. I didn't necessarily have an inclination to go in a certain direction or to do a certain type of ministry. I wasn't really given an option. It was just simply, this is what you have to do. And so because I find myself in the midst of this opportunity, you just start to do what you can do. And then as time goes on, you realize, wow, the Lord's in this. And you sense his enabling. And then you really begin to have a passion for that.
We'll return with more insightful lessons from the book of Romans in our next study as Pastor Brian continues with part two of The Perfect Will of God. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled The Perfect Will of God. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0155. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/PastorBrianBroderson, also on Twitter at twitter.com/BrianBroderson. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.